Mark chapter 14, and we'll begin at the first verse and read the first 9 verses. Mark 14 and verse 1. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar, poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." May God bless the reading and hearing of His Word. The account is that Jesus was a guest in the home of one Simon the leper. Now, John's account identifies the woman who does this random act of kindness as Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. So she brings an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume worth a whole year's wages. Jesus, in verse 9, declares that wherever the scriptures are read, wherever the gospel is preached, Mary's actions will be memorialized. That raises the obvious question, what is so special about her act? And so let's explore her motive and two reactions to her actions. Now, the first thing I want us to realize is that true worship is always costly. This costly perfume is nard, an aromatic oil extracted from a root in India. Obviously, there's not only cost in the production, but also the transportation from the Far East to the Mideast. Now, we're told that it was preserved in a small alabaster flask. In those days, the most expensive perfumes were preserved in alabaster, which is a type of gypsum, a mineral that was carved into these containers. The commentators believe that this flask may have been a family heirloom that had been passed on from one generation to the next. If that's true, then realize that this expensive bottle of perfume may have sat on the shelf for many years before the fragrance was released. Now, Jesus tells us that Mary's action was beautiful. Literally, in verse 6, she did a good work. Good works don't save us, but as Christians, we want to do good works and glorify our Father in heaven. What was beautiful about this act is that it was a voluntary decision on her part to honor Jesus. The aroma was beautiful and it must have lingered for a long time. But realize what is unstated in this action is that the container had to be broken before the fragrance could be experienced. This whole idea of incense and fragrance takes us clear back into the Old Testament. And you may remember that last Sunday we discussed this incense or this smoke that came up from the altar of incense symbolized prayer. You remember we saw that in Revelation chapter 5 and also in chapter 8. Now, I began our service this morning reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you would go with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and with this background in mind, listen again to, to these words. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ." We'll stop the reading there, but the idea is that as we live a victorious Christian life, everywhere we go, there will be a positive influence that lingers. And our influence should attract the world to Jesus. But it doesn't always. Before we can have a positive influence that is attractive, we have to get beyond ourselves. Our stubborn will has to be broken. We have to think about someone besides ourselves. Do you think that Mary ever struggled? Maybe one day she thought, you know, I really want to do it. And then maybe she said, well, you know, I've had this for so long. It came from my mother. She got it from her grandmother. If I break it open, we won't have it anymore. Do you think that she ever struggled with, well, it's such a valuable gift. Maybe I'll use a little bit of it, but keep some of it to myself. C.S. Lewis, that we all enjoy reading, comments on this, and I'm reading from him now. Christ says, give it all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I've not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want to have the whole tree down. I don't want to drill a tooth or crown it or stop it, but to have it out. Hand over your whole natural self, all the desires which you think innocent as well as the ones you think wicked, the whole outfit. I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself. My own will shall be yours. And so anyone who does these kinds of acts of kindness has to get to the point where they're thinking beyond themselves. And I want to suggest that true worship is always costly. Frankly, it would have been easier to stay in a warm bed this morning than to get up and come out into the cold. And we can all, well, preachers have an endless supply of jokes about people who come down with symptoms at 11 o'clock and have those symptoms abated at 12 o'clock. Now, I'm not your judge, but realize, as I realize, that it always takes effort. It always takes a deliberate act of determination to get up, to get dressed, and if anything can go wrong between the time the alarm goes off on Sunday morning and the time you arrive here with a smile on your face, whether that is authentic or hypocritical, anything that can go wrong will, won't it? And realize that any act of worship always costs us something. Now, here's the second point, and this comes as a shock to me and to you. True Christians will encounter criticism. Now, you say, this seems to be so unnecessary, but look at verse 4. Some that were present were indignant at this extravagance. See, in that day, if I was a guest invited to a dinner party at your home, it would be normal for your servant to meet me at the door and perhaps wash my feet. And the servant might have a drop or two of diluted perfume that they would spray on me or anoint me with. That was normal. That was customary. But Mary's act was over the top. It was too extreme. It was too excessive. It was too emotional. Now again, it's John's account that identifies where the criticism is coming from, and it is Judas. Judas is upset with this wasteful extravagance because he measured everything in terms of money. Now John is just very blunt and tells us that Judas really did not care about the poor, but he handled the money bag for the disciples, and as the treasurer, he was embezzling money. Now, had this alabaster flask have been sold, it would have meant a sizable donation to the account that he managed, which would have provided him an opportunity to have embezzled even more. Now, when you think of it, here is the contrast between a woman who gives selfishly and a disciple of Jesus who is ultimately self-centered. Essentially, a year's wages was not too much for him to misappropriate on himself, but it was too much to give to Jesus. I've tried to do the math. Ultimately, Judas sold Jesus for a third of what this expensive perfume would have cost. Just think about that. See, a big sum of money was not too much for Judas to pocket, but he was willing to sell his relationship to Jesus for a small, lesser amount. This is the contrast between a box that is broken and an ego that is unbroken. Mary's kiss was a kiss of devotion. The kiss of Judas was the kiss of betrayal. Mary was not so concerned about the price. She was worshiping Jesus. Judas was not concerned about Jesus. He was only thinking about how he could profit. Here's the picture I want you to get. Both Mary and Judas were having an influence. And if you can allow me to connect the symbolism, they were both giving off an aroma. What Mary did was beautiful. What Judas did stunk. That's the difference between being self-centered and caring about others. Now let's look at the reaction of Jesus, and Jesus shows us that true love involves sacrifice. In verse 8, he takes the whole incident to another level. He does not exploit Mary's devotion. His ego was not flattered. You see, sometimes when someone does show us kindness, when someone pays us a compliment, sometimes we almost get dizzy and we lose our balance. Jesus knew he was about to die. He was not thrown off balance by someone's kindness, but he declared that what she did was preparation for his burial. If I understand the chronology, from this act of kindness until his arrest on Thursday evening was only a matter of about 4 days. 4 days later, we catch up with him, and he's praying in the garden, and he's really on the cusp of entering into his passion and suffering. At that moment, he's all alone. Judas has already betrayed him. He brought his closest disciples to give him support. And in the background, can't you hear Peter snoring? I mean, everybody's wrapped up in their own issues. And Jesus looks up and says, "Father, must I really drink this cup of suffering? Father, did you really intend for me to die for these ungrateful wretches?" It seems like everyone is thinking of themselves, and Jesus is alone, and he must have dropped his head. And just imagine with me, as he drops his head, he takes a breath, and I'm going to suppose that 4 days later, the aroma of that perfume is still embedded in his garments. And in a world of ugly selfishness, he remembers again, someone had done a random act of kindness. And it reminds him afresh, that's my mission. I've already been anointed for my death and burial. And so he looks up to heaven and says, Father, not what I will, but what you will. Let me suggest that every person, whether they even believe in God or not, whether they even are conscious that they're praying, everybody can be divided into two camps. In one camp, there are people in the world who look to God and say to God, God, not what you will, what I want. But then there is that group of people who have been broken. And they look to God and say, Father, it's not what I will, but it's what you want. See, Jesus demonstrated that to us in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, there's an interesting connection in Ephesians chapter 5. And the opening verses of Ephesians 5 say this, be imitators of God, therefore, as dear loved children. And live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There's that same imagery. We've been dealing with this aroma throughout the whole sermon. And it goes clear back to the Old Testament and the incense. And we read over in 2 Corinthians that we are to carry that kind of aroma. But here in Ephesians, it tells us that Jesus left that kind of fragrant offering and sacrifice, and we are to be imitators of him. And so let's wrap it up. Let's look at what this lesson teaches us. Selfishness always stings. But unselfish acts always carry a positive, lingering influence. But before we can get beyond ourselves, we have to be broken of ourselves. The rose petal must be crushed before it releases the fragrance. A wild horse has to be broken because it's of any value. A child that grows up to be responsible must be taught obedience. A grain of corn must fall to the ground and die before it can reproduce. You see, there's so many examples throughout the Bible, and you have this picture in Genesis of Jacob who wrestles with God all night, and God touches him and breaks his hip. In the process of Jacob's brokenness, God transforms him into Israel, the father of a nation. You see, we only are in a position to bless others after we've been broken ourselves. Now, sometimes we wonder what's going on in our lives. But realize, the perfume had been in the jar for maybe 25 to 50 years. But no one got any good from it. No one enjoyed it. No one was blessed by it until the jar was broken open. God sometimes allows brokenness to come into our lives so that we're more equipped to bless others. In your hymn book, if you'll turn with me to hymn 519, it's just a chorus that Bill Gaither wrote. But notice how it ties in with the words and concepts of our lesson this morning. Something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion, he understood. Yes, sometimes we're confused. Because the harder we try to do right, the more seems to be thrown at us. Notice the next line, all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But just like the alabaster jar was broken, something beautiful pours forth. He made something beautiful of my life. Let's sing this together, my motive is that it'll play as a soundtrack all week long in the back of your mind. And it'll help you make some sense out of the curveballs that get thrown at us sometimes. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. Do it again. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. Stand with me. Heavenly Father, sometimes we're very conscious of our brokenness, of our failures, of our disappointments. But Father, sometimes we're not conscious that there's a sweet fragrance that's coming from us, that's offering encouragement and hope to others. So help us when we don't know what's happening, to realize that You do. Help us to understand that worship is always costly, and that people who don't understand will always be critical, but that true love always involves the giving of ourselves. Thank You that Jesus is the ultimate example. Thank You for His fragrance. May people smell Jesus on us, and may people not smell too much of us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.